start Perek Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, and Shmuel Aleph. Here's what we're going to do. Starting off, it says, V'yish echad min ramasayim sofi mehar Ephraim, Shmuel Kana ben Yerocham ben Eliyahu ben Tochu ben Sof ben Sufaf Rasi. So there was a man. So the wording is from Ramasayim Tsofim. Now that could be a city, that could be the name of an actual city, we'll see in a second. From the land of Ephraim. So this man was a Levi, this actual man was a Levi, but he was from Har Ephraim. He lived in Har Ephraim. As we all know, Shevet Levi didn't have any land. His name was Elkanah, son of Yerocham, son of Eliyahu, ben Tochu, ben Sof, Ephrati. He was from the land of Ephraim, but again, he was not from the Shevet Ephraim. Notice the entire Sefer starts off with a Vav, Vayihi. That connects it to Shoftim, at the end of Shoftim over there, to show that there's an ongoing link to what was happening with the end of the Shoftim, what was happening with Pilegesh, Begiva, etc., to what we have right over here. There's going to be a succession that goes through. It's also a pure contrast. Remember what we talked about at the end of the last one where we saw that Levi who was worshipping Avodah Zarah because he didn't know what to do with himself? And over here we have a Levi who's the Tzaddik beyond Tzaddikim. That's the idea of why we're contrasting the two to show you what it's supposed to be. Every time you see the word Vayihi in the beginning of a parak, it connotes grief. It's talking about sadness. Vayihi bimei is absolute sadness. Vayihi could be sad, could be something else. Over here, the word Vayihi is a reference to the grief over the fact that Chana did not have any children, that she wasn't able to have any children. Elkanah is Elkanah. He possessed God, and that was what his name meant. Each one of these names also refer to something. We don't need that over here. When it says Ramasayim Tsofim, Ramasayim means two hills. Some say that the two hills were the following. Elkanah lived on two different hills. He had one house here, because he had two wives. Chana was on one, Peninnah was on the other, and he used to go from one hill to the other. He never let them live in the same house. He knew that there was something going on between them, but he made sure there was one on top of the other. Tsofim means he was a prophet. Elkanah was a Navi. We're going to see that he becomes a Navi in the next parak. And Megillah, Yud-Dalem, and Aleph, he is one of the people that are called the prophets themselves. He's going to be sent next week, next parak, to be able to go through. But he is called Tsofim. So that's Ramasayim Tsofim. Others say that he is from Korach. Then when it says Tsuf, it really goes all the way back to Korach, and Tsuf is another word for Korach. Korach means that sons of Korach survived. They were the ones who floated up to the top. Remember, B'nai Korach Lomesu. So they didn't die, even though they were swallowed up in the ground. And therefore, Tsuf refers to them. Since they survived, Elkanah is alive, and that's what it means, Ramasayim. They were also lifted up from the bottom, lifted up from Gehenna, and they survived that way. That's one way of looking at it. But it could be it's also Ramah over here as well. Okay, regardless. It says in Pasuk Beis, V'lo Shtei Nashim Yeh two wives, Shema Chachana, Shema Shenis Penina. Peninnah had children, Chana did not. They say that there are two different ways that a person can look at the world. You want to look at it in the Hasidic fashion. Peninnah is jewels. On the outside, she was filled with everything she needed. But on the inside, there was something a little bit wrong, as we're going to see. Chana was filled with chen on the inside, but on the outside, she didn't look like she was the biggest tzaddikus in the world. Now, Chana was such a big tzaddikus that after they had been married for 10 years and they had not had children, Chana asked Elkanah to have another wife. Go marry somebody else. And he did. He married Peninnah, and Peninnah immediately had 10 children.
We saw that before.
I'm sorry? Sarah. With Sarah and Anwen Hagar. It's the same exact thing. It's right over there. Now, it's not only that she didn't have any children. It says, there was no possibility for her to have children. She was incapable by nature for her to have children. It was absolutely impossible. That's the idea behind it. Now, some say it's the opposite. It's that she did, but we'll see in a second. This man would go up from his city every year to bow down and to sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shiloh. There were two sons of Eli. We're going to learn more about them in the next parak, but that's the idea behind it. Now, here's the great thing about Elkanah, what he did. Every time Elkanah went up, he went up in a different path to go to Yerushalayim. Why? Every time he went down there, he brought people with him. People would be like, where are you going? And he said, Yerushalayim. Why are you going to Yerushalayim? Because it's the Chagim. So they said, oh, we should go also. So he said, I'll pay for you. So Elkanah brought tons of people with him every single time. He went in a different path, different direction every single time. Some say Miyam Yamima means he went every year. Others say that means three times a year. Others say there was a little bit of an issue. Now, why weren't people doing Aliyah Lerega on themselves? What happened over here? Why didn't people go on? So the problem was that there were wars going on. There were other things going on, and people didn't want to leave when stuff like that was happening. It was really, really difficult when this was happening. The leaders of Klal Yisrael should have gone around, but they weren't. So Elkanah took it upon himself and said, I'll take care of it. I'm going to do it over here. And he was doing a tikkun, right, for all those people that weren't doing this stuff. He said, I'm going to take it as well. That's how it goes through. There is a Shiloh, by the way. There is a chiv to do Aliyah L'Regel by every Regel. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. Miyam Yom Yom means he only did it once a year. So it could be like once a year because he was so far away he wasn't chayiv to do it, but he did it anyway once a year. Or Miyam Yom Yom means every bunch of days, which would have been Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos. He was able to do that. Maybe that's a pshat. The Ralbag says he took his family once a year, but he himself would go all three times. Meaning he didn't take his whole family the entire time. That would be like that.
Is the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel? They must do it once in their life, or they're supposed to do
it. It's a chiyuv if you're in a certain area, every single chag. Okay. If you're outside of that area, it's a mitzvah sase, it's like a kiyumis. Like, if you can do it, you do it, but if you don't do it, you're not chayiv for anything. But it is a really good mitzvah to be able to do. The panim yafos, the hafla, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer says that the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel did not apply in the Mishkan, it only applied in the Beis HaMikdash. That's an awesome answer, but it's another way of looking at it. Okay, next. Bayayom. It was that certain day. Vayizbach Elkanah brought a korban, Menasan lePanina Isha l'Chopan Elv v'Nosam Manos. He brought portions to Penina's wife and to all of her sons and daughters, and they brought over there. There's a machlokas when this was exactly. Some say it was Shavuos. It makes a lot of sense that way, as we'll see later on. Anybody know from our davening, when was Chana conceived? When did she conceive with Shmuel? You know it. You just haven't realized it yet. We read this as our Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah. Because she conceived on Rosh Hashanah. That means it couldn't have been Sukkos or even Pesach. It must have been Shavuos. That's the closest chag to Rosh Hashanah. That would make the most sense.
He was in Ephraim. He wasn't that far from Yerushalayim.
Ephraim is still far enough that it's not an easy trip. So although it's close, it's not close enough where you're chayiv to go. That would have been a problem. He was in Ramah, actually. So it would have been a couple days trip, 2 days trip, to be able to go. And you're not chayiv in that case. But he could. He was allowed to. He was allowed to. Pasuk Hey, Lachana Yitin Mana Achas Apoyim. To Chana, he gave a double portion. Ki Chana Ahei V'Hashem Sagarachmo. He loved Chana, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had closed up her womb over here. Some say that it was supposed to, you know, make her feel less bitter about her being childless. And in fact, it really had the opposite idea, because she looked at it and she's like, oh, because I have no one to share it with. So that's what made her so upset. Ki Astot Sorasa, her co-wife, meaning Penina, used to anger her. Gamkas, tremendous anger, Babor Harima, in order for her to scream out loud and daven, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had closed up her womb. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there are two people who did everything L'Shem Shemayim, but they're still bad. The Yetzirah and Penina. Penina meant this L'Shem Shemayim. She really wanted Chana to daven. She felt like she wasn't davening enough. Maybe she was right in a way, because Chana didn't really daven up until this point.
So tough love.
But very tough love. And for that reason, she's
that
punished.
Reason she's for internally a bad person.
Well, she's punished horribly. She loses 8 of her kids for it, Penina. But she wanted to do it L'Shem Shemayim. So, I guess...
Don't pressure people.
Exactly. Well, don't pressure people in the wrong way. Are you getting the same? That's a bad way. Anyway, but yes, that's the idea behind it over here. But that was a mistake. Penina mistook Chana's childlessness as a punishment from God. And that's why she said, you got to daven. She was wrong. The reason why she was childless is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved her tefilos. So that was the wrong idea. You shouldn't have done it that way. Pasuk Zayin, Lachini Asas Shana B'Shana. Every year, Midei Olasa Be'ez Hashem, when she came to the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, came to Ahisena, right? So too, she would make her angry. Bativ Kevelo Tochal. She would cry every single time, and she could not eat. She wasn't able to eat whatsoever. It's understandable. Like, this is the time they were by the Mishkan itself. Maybe it was the perfect conduit for tefilos. But either way, it seems like she did it year after year after year. Now, Pasuk Chas. Vayom Elo Elkanah Yisho. Elkanah said, her husband said to her, Chana, Lama Sivki, why do you cry? We only cry for the dead, says the Abarbanel. We don't cry just for childlessness. That's not what you should be crying about when it comes to this. Lama Lo Sochli, why don't you eat? There's a mitzvah to eat basar korbanos. This is a time to be happy. It's a time of chag. You're supposed to be eating. But Lama Yira Levaveich, and there's a chiyuv of simcha altogether on these holidays. Why are you so upset? Alonuchi Tov Lach Me'asar Abanim. I'm better for you than it is for 10 children. Now, obviously, this is a silly question of Elkanah. No husband should ever do that to his wife. What in the world is he trying to say when he's trying to do over here?
But so maybe he's just trying to comfort her. She's barren, and he's pretty much resigned himself to the fact she can't have kids. Yeah. So he's trying to comfort her and say, listen, I will love you more than 10 kids could do. I mean, Raj seems to be similar. 100%, like,
100%. It just seems like you know what the issue is. Like, don't even ask it as a why. That's the question. Like, why are you so upset? You know why she's so upset. And the answer that's given from the Malbim is that he's trying to tell her that she was being inappropriate. This is not the time for this to happen. He did not know that Penina had already yelled at her and said, oh, did you give all the food to your... Oh, I'm sorry. Like, he didn't realize that that had happened. He said, this is not the appropriate time, and that's the idea behind it. And he was telling her, maybe you don't know, but the chiyuv of simcha is on men and women. It's not just relegated to men. You're chayiv in this as well. There's a chiyuv for you over here. Others say that the word anochi is a reference to Har Sinai. It's referring to the Aseres HaDibros. That if you can't keep that mitzvah, a pur ravu, you don't have that anyway, so keep a different mitzvah. Right? There are other mitzvahs out there for you to concentrate on, and that's what it means. Anochi is better for you,
Tovla. This is actually similar, I mean, in some ways, to the conversation between Yaakov and Rachel. Remember,
oh, very good. And he said, who am I?
Right.
Atachas Alokim Anochi. Right? Am I very, very good? And he used the word Anochi as well.
Also, what is, very the, good. Is there yeah. something significant about this pasuk particular that we would say it in prayers?
Yeah. I think it's because of the way Elkanah spoke, Halo Nochi Tov Lach Me'asar Abanim. You be happy with
we
everything
say it
you have.
And
you say it after Aleinu.
This pasuk, I don't know why. Among, there's four pasuk.
For sure. Pasuk. You should know, by the way, also, he was also into something famous over here. Chana stands for the three mitzvot that every woman has. Chana, her name. Chala, right, Afrashas Chala. Nida, which is the lachas of whatever it is. As well as, what's it called? Hadakas Neros. And those are the Ches Nun He. That's part of her name itself. It's really amazing. After she ate in Shiloh, after she drank, Eliakon Yoshev Alakisel Mizuz Hechel Hashem. Eliakon was sitting by his seat near the Hechel Hashem.
What is the significance of this pasuk? Meaning, as
I would assume it's because he was trying to tell her, be happy with everything you have. Be happy with everything. I think that's the idea behind it. But I'm sure there's more to it than just that. But either way, she went straight there. And Eli was sitting by the mezuzah Seichel Hashem. Now, this is not an area where you can't sit down. By the base of Mikdash, you were not allowed to sit down in the Azara. In this area, you were allowed to sit down. Eli was the Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Gadol can't sit in the Azara. But here, he was probably allowed to sit down. And that's not a problem whatsoever. There is a kasha.
He was on the door, meaning he wasn't inside the Heichel.
Right, by the mezuzah Heichel Hashem. That still would be in the Azara in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, we're right there, the Heichel, but probably not by the Mishkan. By the Mishkan, it was in what was called the Chatzar, right? But I don't know what it was like in the Mishkan of Shiloh. The Mishkan of Shiloh did not have any dimensions for what was around there. So I'm not so sure exactly, but it wouldn't matter. If you'll notice, by the way, the word Yoshev is written without a Vav. So the Malbim says the reason why it's not a Vav is it's the present tense, right? But even though it's not a Vav, it's a continuous act of sitting. He was installed that day, and he had been sitting there before, and now he was officially installed as the Kohen Gadol and Shofet of Klal Yisrael. He might not be Kohen Gadol, or he might not be the Shofet. I don't know
if he
was appointed Shofet or Kohen Gadol.
When he died a few years after this?
No, not a few years. We'll see. He was the Rebbe of Shmuel for almost 30 years, maybe even longer. So we're going to see. There's going to be a machlokas with the Seder Olam with this later on. But that's that. So that's what it means by sitting. Either way, it says, V'himaras nefesh, she was so embittered, v'tispawa Hashem, she davened. Notice the wording over here? It's not El Hashem. Al Hashem. She davened on Hashem. She screamed at God. Says the Gemara in Sota that she was so angry, she davened as if God was standing there and she was trying to step on God. Over Chosif Keh while she crying profusely as she was going through.
Was she closer than she should have been as a woman in terms of the...
Emotions?
No, area.
The area. There was no Isser back then. There was no Isser. Because they didn't have tefillah b'tzibor, there was no issue of men and women davening by the kotel, so to speak. They could daven all the way up there, and there was no problem with that whatsoever, as long as there wasn't a crowd.
So to speak,
not in the Mishkan. At least not that we know of.
But
we don't know
the Mishkan.
She couldn't
go in the Heichal. She's not a Kohen.
She went to the outside of the Heichal.
So she's standing like kind of like at the back of the wall behind.
Seemingly like right in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And Eli was somewhere around there as well. But that's the idea. It's strong. Chazal tell us that we do learn all of our many of our halachos of tefillah from Chana. There's four halachos of tefillah we get. We'll see what they are soon. Batidur neder v'tomer. She made a neder. And the halacha is that you are allowed to make a neder if you feel that this is something that you need in order to get to another level. V'tomer Hashem Tzvakos, she said, Hashem, master of legions. Chazal say from the word Tzvakos, she was saying, God, you have created all the hosts of the heavens and all the constellations and the stars. You can't give me one child. One little kid, out of the trillions of things you made in the world, one child is all I want. Imra o tireh. If you give me a child, great. And if not, you'll see, I'll force you to give me a child. I'm going to become a sota. And what happens if a sota woman is found innocent? Miniksa, Minizra Zar, she'll have a child. I'm going to make your Torah plester, so to speak. Yeah, she went like that. Ba'ani, the poorness, Amasecha. Do not think, she used the word Amasecha three times in this pasuk, and we'll see in a second. But Ba'ani Amasecha, do not think that I'm doing this for myself. I'm doing this for Klal Yisrael. She's saying, I'm an ani in Klal Yisrael. Zachartani velos yishkach is Amasecha. Remember me, don't forget your mitzvah. Minasatul Amasecha zara anashim. Amasecha is written three times with the three mitzvahs that she always kept, which are Chala, Nida, and Halakas Aner. Zera Anashim, I want a child who will anoint men. anoint Shaul HaMelech and David HaMelech. Some say she wants a child who will be set among men. Not too tall, not too short, not too big, not too thin. She wants somebody who's not going to stick out. Average. Somebody who's not, yeah, an average person. And I promise to give him to Hashem, Kol Yimei Chayiv, all the days of his life. He will never have a razor on top of his head. Some say there will be a fear of God upon his head all the days of his life. She made him into a Nazir. Halachically speaking, a woman is not allowed to make her child into a Nazir before he's born. A man is allowed to, but a woman is not. I'm sorry?
What do you mean a man? How can a man make their so a child?
It's a Shaila. If the woman is around and she has the child in her stomach, the man can say that my child is going to be a Nazir. He can make that Naziris, and the Nazir will have to keep it at some point in his life. But a woman cannot make it. But however, what this was is that he would have to accept it later on.
Why did the angel only go to Manoah?
That was different because that's Nazir Shimshon. This is going to be a Nazir Olam, which is a different type of status.
No, but he's a Nazir from the Rechim, which is like Shimshon's status.
Different. Nazir Olam and Nazir Shimshon are a little different. Nazir Shimshon cannot shave his head his whole life. A Nazir Olam gets to shave whenever he feels his hair getting really heavy.
But he has to impose upon themselves, if I remember correctly.
That's exactly correct. And this is what she said, I'm going to make him into a Nazir, but it didn't take effect unless he would take
but
it
wait,
upon
wait, it's
himself.
Like, no, because he's also Tamei Meis. So how could he be Tamei Meis if he's Nazir Olam? Only Nazir Shimshon could be Tamei Meis.
He might not have been Nazir Olam his whole life. He may have been Nazir Olam only for part of his life. But I don't know if he ever was Tamei Meis. Why would he be Tamei Meis? Because he went to war against the Plishim?
Killed the guy.
Oh, Agag.
Killed him with a sword.
Yeah, by that time he might not have been Nazir Olam anymore. I don't know. That's a good call, actually. I did not think of that. What about Agag? We'll have to see if that ends up coming in. But that we did almost all this over here, the average size, no fear of men, etc. And that is that, right. The Abarbanel says that since he was born because of it, he was chayiv to keep it. But normally no person would have to do such an Azirus. He would have to answer Amen at some point later on. Okay. But here is at least following his Hashem. She davened so much in front of Hashem. Eli Shomer's Pia. Eli is watching her lips the whole time. He's watching her the entire time right over here, trying to see what happens. The word shamar does mean to wait over here, and that's what it is, waiting to see, waiting to finish her prayers, because he was sitting there and he's like, I don't understand. Some say the reason why he was waiting is chas v'shalom, Eli wouldn't walk within Dalet Amos of her. He was sitting down, she came to pray, he was within Dalet Amos of her, and he couldn't go anywhere, because she was within Dalet Amos. So he stopped and waited for her to finish, and when she finished, only then could he wait up. So while he was there, he was watching her daven the entire time. He thought she was drunk, because nothing was coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, but if you wouldn't walk near her, it's because she was praying. Then he knew she was praying, not that she was drunk.
Oh, no, but while she was praying...
Yeah, but he thought she was drunk. But he thought she was drunk praying?
Yeah, look at the next one. V'chani midaberes al libachana was speaking to her,
right, no,
praying in her heart. Raksvasan knows, but her lips were moving. V'koli yishamea, but he couldn't hear her voice. V'akshvah eli shikora, and immediately Eli thought that she was a shikora. There is an amazing gra over here, which makes absolutely no sense to me, because halachically speaking, you cannot use the Urim V'tumim for just random questions. But the gra says that Eli looked at his Urim V'tumim, and he asked the Urim V'tumim, what's going on with this woman? Now, the halakha by the Urim V'tumim is the following, according to the Ramban. There's the Urim, which light up the letters themselves, and the letters appear in front of you. The Tumim puts the letters in order. The Urim and the Tumim are Shemos of Hashem. You concentrate on the Urim, the letters light up. You concentrate on the Tumim, the letters go in order. Eli immediately thought of the Urim, and saw the letters, Shin Chaf Reish He, and thought that it meant Shikora. So he didn't use the Tumim, and he didn't put it in order, and he didn't think any other. He said, Shikora. She's drunk. But in fact, if he would have used the Tumim, he would have realized it's not Shikora, it was either Kishera or Kisara. One of those two, she's like Sarah Imenu, or she's Kishera, and he should have used the Tumim, which is exactly what the problem is. Four things that we learned from her right over here. Number one, you have to concentrate on the words that you're reading. When you daven, that's what it means. She was praying in her heart. Number two, lips are moving. You cannot daven without moving your lips. You are not allowed to daven without moving your lips. You must have your lips move when you're daven. Number three, you should not raise your voice too loudly in prayer, because that could disturb the people that are by you. Number four, you cannot daven while you're drunk. Those are the four halachos that we learned from Chana right over here. By Yomer Eli, and besides Yishtakarin, how long are you going to be drunk for? Get rid of your wine from you, and maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to listen to your prayers. No, my master. Either number one, no, you're wrong, or no, you are not my master when it comes to this. You have clearly messed up by not using the Tumen. Isha, I've got something wrong. I've got a troubled spirit. I haven't drunk anything. I poured out my soul in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I didn't do anything wrong. This was my way of davening. And I didn't want to daven in a non-snias fashion, begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for children. I wanted to daven in a snias fashion. That's how I davened. And she taught Eli something. And Eli immediately realized that he suspected somebody wrongly and immediately had to give her a bracha. That's the idea of what happened over here. An amazing thing, by the way. Do you remember what happened, where she came in, and specifically what the Pasuk says? The Pasuk says, as she walked in, Acharei achol v'acharei shaso. After she ate and she drank. She did drink something. She did. But she must have drunk only water. I didn't even know that they had regular water back then. If anybody's seen. Maybe. Maybe milk. But even milk made you somewhat drunk back in the day. They didn't have like regular milk. Drunk. It was like fermented. Yeah. So it was something that was still. It wasn't the regular. It was like apple cider instead of apple juice. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't like the normal stuff.
Water. How did you survive without water?
Water is like disgusting back then. You saw Back to the Future Part 3?
No. But.
Oh.
Of course.
Should have.
No, but they used to make beer in Germany because they, water wasn't good.
Water was disgusting.
Yeah, but they had wells in Israel.
Yeah,
like
they must
have
had something. But I can't imagine it was so good. But a pasuk design. Al titin zemos kolif nei bas belial. Don't think that I'm a lawless woman. Kimirov sich v'chasi debarti adhena. I've been doing this from all the anger and everything that's in front of me. That's what I've been doing over here. I am not a woman who's belial without a yoke. I believe in God. I believe in my rabbanim. There's no issue with all this. He gave her a bracha, because when you suspect somebody wrongly, you have to give them a bracha. May God give you your prayer that you asked from him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had set it up in such a way that Eli would answer amen to the prayers of Chana and allow for this to happen. And therefore, it not only was Chana's tefillah that was answered, it was Eli's also the bracha of the tzaddik that helped to be able to go through. That's the idea behind it. Number one, we always say lech l'shalom or lechi l'shalom when we talk to somebody who's going to go somewhere. Lech b'shalom is for someone who's dead. We only saw Lech B'Shalom once, is when David HaMelech said to Avshalom. And unfortunately, that didn't work out so well. But that's that. Eli is also giving a nevuah at this point. This is a Ruach HaKadosh. He said, your tefillah was answered. I see it in Shemayim. It was 100% answered right over there. Shalal is going to be interesting. There's going to be a bunch over here. Likute Sichos, this is Reb Nachman Mibreslov, says that she didn't daven for her own material needs. That would not have been proper to do it in the Mishkan itself. Instead, she davened for a child who's totally dedicated to Hashem. That's why she was allowed to do it in the Mishkan itself. She was allowed to do something that was so public. Okay, that is that. Next, Vatomer Timtzah Shivchos Lachem Beinecha. May your servant find favor in your eyes. Vatelcha Yishu L'Dakash, she went on her way. Vatochol, she ate. Pana Lo Hayla Od. She no longer had the same face she had before. In other words, she was happy now, right? She was happy. The Maral says her face glowed because she was given a bracha. You want to hear one of the strangest Miam Lois in the world? It's not in the English Miam Lois. It's only in the Hebrew Miam Lois. Hebrew Miam Lois says that Chana had the face of a monkey. She didn't look like a normal human being. And after this, the Miam Lois in the Hebrew version brings that down and says it changed after this. That's what it means, Upana lo hayula od. She looked beautiful and a difference came upon her face, something that was completely different. I've never heard anything like it. Strangest idea, but it definitely doesn't say over here. Chazal also say when it says Vatech li shaladarka, it means she immediately menstruated. She went on her way, meaning she had derech hanoshim. And she menstruated, she was able to have a child. Vayashkim avoka, they got up in the morning, v'yishtachu l'Hashem, they bowed in front of Hashem, v'yashuvu, and they went back. V'avoa, basically, they came back to their house on Ramosa. V'yida Elkanah Chana, yishto v'yizkara Hashem. Elkanah knew Chana, his wife, and Hashem remembered her. Chazal say she was conceived on Rosh Hashanah. We said that this might have been on Shavuos. So it was a few months later. I mean, it was not like it happened immediately just like that, but they went back to their normal place. As the days passed, now Chazal tell us this was 6 months and 2 days. I have no idea how a baby was able to live back then after 6 months and 2 days. 6 months and 2 days is very, 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 very short. But Chazal say that an 8-month baby could never live. A 9-month baby would live. A 6-month baby would live. Or a 7-month, 6 months and 2 days. I have no idea how. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Those babies now need a lot of help to be able to survive. But Shmuel and Avi was born in 6 months and 2 days. She gave birth to a Zikor Shmo Shmuel. She called his name Shmuel, Kimei Hashem Shaltiv, because he asked for him from Hashem. And that's that. Want to hear a really weird medrash? There was a bas kol that came out on that Rosh Hashanah that said, anyone who conceives on Rosh Hashanah should name their child Shmuel. That Shmuel would be a great tzaddik. Every single person who thought that they conceived on Rosh Hashanah named their kid Shmuel that year. But it was referring to this child. That is an unbelievable baskel. And I think the point of the Medrash is saying is that anyone can be a Shmuel. You just have to work like a dog to get there. It's not like Shmuel was born with anything special where he was already born on a higher level. Obviously, he had a great mother and a great father. But anybody could have been Shmuel. It's just that it ended up being him. Yeah.
Terrible kindergarten.
A weird way to say it, but
terrible kindergarten. But class. Like Menachem Mendel and Chaya.
It should be like
Shaul.
Because yeah. He listened.
Shaul Me'el is how they say it. Shaul Me'el. He was borrowed from God. And the line is because he literally was borrowed from God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of said, I'm taking him from you for 2 years and then giving back to you and you're going to the Mishkan. He's going to be there for 50 years after that. So Shaul Me'el is an acronym, I guess you could say, is Shmuel. That's the way you'd have to look at it. It says in Pasuk Chaval Vayal Yishol Kanim B'chol Beis Lizbach Hashem. They brought korbanos to Hashem as zevach hayamin, the zevach that they would bring in the korban, you know, for yomtiv as nidro, as well as the vow that he brought because he obviously had a neder. If you would have a child, he'd make this thing. B'chana lo also. B'chana wouldn't go up. Isn't this interesting? As soon as she could fulfill her neder, she didn't. She didn't. She said to her husband, I cannot go up until the boy is weaned. Vav Yosef, I'll bring him. Beniros Pnei Hashem will see the face of Hashem, and he will live there forever. She was saying, I'm not going up because, it's not that I'm not going up because I don't want to give my son over to God. I do, but I feel he's too weak. It is a 6-month baby. I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think I'm ready. And it makes sense, by the way, if that first Yom Tif was Sukkis, and he was born, Pesach, and he would have been born 6 months and 2 days later after Rosh Hashanah. So it would have been born like right Gimel Nisan or something right before Pesach. She said, I can't do it. It makes
right,
a lot of sense.
Why did you wait Ati Gamil? Wait a year and then he's
yeah,
strong
so
to...
then she said, and I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go up until that. So she gave that excuse for now that he was too delicate, and then said, I'm waiting 2 years to get him up, and then he's going forever. Yeah.
I never understood this. Who's going to go take care of a 2-year-old at the Mishkan? I mean, yeah. It's not a daycare service.
It's a very, very strange thing. We'll see what Chazal say even stranger after this, but clearly there's something that's up over here. I would assume they hired somebody. They had to hire somebody to take care of him when
yeah,
he was
Yeah, the one you're going to talk about later, I also don't understand.
It's the unbelievable medrash. We'll see it in a second. But Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Asiyato b'nai, do whatever is good in your eyes. Shviad gamlecho, so you can sit here until you wean him. Ach, yokem Hashem is a row, but you have to fulfill Hashem's word. So she nursed her child until she weaned him, and that's that. Now, it's possible that these baskols and the things that people knew about and that Elkanah was going around was all after Shimshon had died at the hands of the Plishtim, after Pelegish Begiva, after whatever might have happened at the time right before this. But she brought him up with him, Kashir Gamalatu, when she weaned him. Pifarim Shlosha, she brought up 3 cows, 3 bulls, the Eifa Achas Kemach, and 1 Eifa of flour, that's a large amount of flour. The Naval Yain, a bottle of wine, Matvio Beis Hashem Shiloh, she brought him up to Shiloh, Vanar Noar. Now the child was a youth. Now, clearly the Pasuk's trying to tell us something over here. Although he was 2, maybe a little bit older than 2, maybe in his 3rd year, whatever it was, there was something about this child that was different from every other child. He either was different in his size, or he was different in his attitude. Something was different about this child. Now, he's still a 2-year-old, so you can't expect unbelievable things to happen from him. But it seems clear that the Pasuk is trying to tell us something is very strange about what was going on.
Pray for someone
who wasn't going to be too big, too small. That's very good. Maybe bigger for his size at the time, but not necessarily when he got older, was going to be over there. But he was considered like that he was a youth and he was going around. Chazal tell us that his intelligence was already maturing and that his mental faculties had begun to develop. As it says, Vayishchatu asapar v'yaviu asanar al Eli. They shechted the cow and they brought the child to Eli. Okay, and then it says, "Vatomer biaduni," and she said, "Chana said, biaduni, my master, chayin afshachaduni, by the life of your life, my master, ani yisha ani tavisim chavazeh. I am the woman who stood over here, lispalo Hashem, the famous Baruch Levine song, right? Ani yisha ani tavisim chavazeh. I was standing here, lispalo Hashem, and I davened to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Elanar azeh yispalalti. I davened for this child. Vitin Hashem liyashelo siyasher shaltim imo, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave me the shelo that I asked. So what happened over here? So Chazal tell us the craziest medrash that they came up and they were waiting for a kohen who was a shochet." To shach the par. And as they're waiting for a kohen who's a shochet, the 2-year-old Shmuel gets up and says, what are we waiting for? And they said, we're waiting for a kohen to shach. He says, you don't need a kohen to shach. It only says a kohen should bring the parts to the mizbeach. But before that, anything could be done by anyone. You could have even Yisrael, a czar, can go ahead and shach. To which they brought it over to Eli. That's why Yishchatu is a par. They shechted the par. If he was an Eli, they brought the nar to Eli. And Eli said, you're correct, but you're Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. And Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabbi, Paskin in front of your Rabbi, Chai of Misa. So they were going to kill him. To which Chana said, absolutely not. To which he said, I'll daven for a better child. To which Chana said, Elanar Azei Spalalti. I want this child. It's an unreal medrash. Now, how do we take this? if it's to be taken literally, then it's very hard to understand that he was 2 years old at the time. You'd have to assume this happened a little bit later, when it happened a little bit further on, when he was 6, 7, maybe he had learned by Eli for a little bit. No, Morei Halacha b'fnei Rabba was also Chayav Misa b'dei Shamayim.
Yeah, that's not, they can't do that.
No, he wouldn't have killed them. He would have allowed Morei Halacha b'fnei Rabba to allow him to die.
What do you mean allow him to die by who?
So there's an amazing Chassam Sofer.
He died when he was born, he could die too.
No, there's an amazing Chassam Sofer that asked about this and says, he's two. How in the world could you have a kid who's two going around?
I'm saying assuming he's an adult.
Yeah, well, I don't think an adult, but a kid. You know, he's a kid.
Right.
He's underage for sure, without a question. So what's going on here? What are we expecting from him? And he says, the pshat is, when it comes to Morei Halacha b'fnei Rabba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges you according to the kid, how smart that kid is and whether he should have known this halacha or not.
Sure.
And if he knew this halacha, then he wasn't supposed to do it. And this kid, 2, 7, 8, whatever, how old he was, this kid should have known Morei Halacha b'fnei Rabba. So what he should have said is, shouldn't we ask Eli if it's that, he should have done like that, and he didn't do that, and therefore, now, it wouldn't have been that. You can daven, you could be mochel on your kavod, and then Morei Halacha b'fnei Rabba is not chayiv misa. So Eli was saying, I can't, I'm not going to do anything about it, to which Chana said, no, you have to daven to be mochel on your kavod so that this happens.
But even if he's not mochel, okay. I mean,
then it would still be in Shemayim. It wouldn't be through HaKadosh
Baruch Hu. The way I would read it is, well, Eli says to her, why are you bringing a two-year-old to the Beis Hamikdash, to the Mishkan? And she's saying, well, this is the child I prayed for. Remember, you blessed it.
Oh,
so
for
this
sure.
Is why you should be
Without
taking
Without a question, in Pshat, it's just simply they shechted the cows, they brought the kid to Eli, etc. And Eli said, and Chana said, this is the kid that I promised for, and therefore let's take care of him. I'm just telling you what the Medrash says on this, going through.
It's interesting, she said,
yeah.
Lo Adoni before.
Yeah.
Now it's just Bi Adoni.
Very, very good call. Yeah, all of a sudden she's like, she wants her child to live.
Uncle
right? She wants her child to live.
I mean, I would say the Bi Adoni is, please take this kid, even though he's two, and the Mishkan is not a place for two-year-olds.
Yeah, but she changes her tone.
And she, but in the end, Elin Arizal Yispalati, we're going to see, there's no question that he grew up in the Mishkan. Did he grow up in the Mishkan from the age of two? Very hard to say. Did Chana stay with him near the Mishkan, keeping him around, allowing him to be there? Listen, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania's mother used to keep him inside the Beis Medrash. Used to take the crib and bring him by the Beis Medrash. Said he would be there. And they say, Ashrei Elatato, because of what she did. In the end, Rabbi Yeshua became the great man that he did because of the words of Torah that he heard even when he was a little baby, that she always brought him around there. Maybe that's what Chana did the whole time. If we understand it the way the Medrash is understanding, that at the age of two, Chana brought Eli, a little two-year-old, and said, this is a precocious child who has the ability to be very, very smart and knows certain things and whatever it is, it's very hard to understand what's going on in the Navi
How
itself.
Far is Har Ephraim from Shiloh?
2 days, we said before. Two-day walk. Yeah, so it would have been like that, yeah.
Kind of question going back, all Kohanim weren't also Shochets?
They might have been.
It seems like their
likely
job
they were.
Is to like bring...
Their job was simply put to be the Avoda people and also to take care of all the issues around. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Mishkan. You could have hundreds of people bringing korbanos on the same day in the Mishkan. You have to have somebody arranging all that and doing all that. There had to be an order to all this. So I don't know how exactly it worked back in the days of the Mishkan.
Though,
but it would be hard.
The,
yeah. For sure, you could have Levi's overseeing
the
everything,
the
Shomrim, etc. But you did have to have Kohanim that were involved in some way. V'gamanochi, he showed to you, I have lent him to Hashem, kol yom asher yehu shol Hashem, mishtachu shom Hashem. They all bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, and that's the idea behind it. This is absolutely unbelievable. Now, we don't have a Shiloh, we don't know who bowed to who. Shmuel bowed, did Chana bow, Elkanah, Eli, who knows? So we have absolutely no idea. We have Chana's prayer, Chana's tefillah, which is the end of our...
It says Vayishtachav, but not Vatishtachav.
Right, Vayishtachavu, but
maybe it's all of them.
It seems like Vayishtachavu is...
Maybe Shmuel and his mother.
I think it's... Isn't Vayishtachavu and he bowed?
Rashi says.
It could also be and they. It could also be they, if it's a plural.
Is it Vayishtachavu? I think it's with two vavs. Is it with one or two? I think
one.
It is with
one,
right? I think Vayishtachu, I think, is one. A singular one person bound. It was a big Shiloh.
So
it would be. Yeah, so you have that. You have one of the two
then
that are around.
It has to be one
there.
Male, otherwise I'd say Vatishtachu.
Yes, somebody did. But Shmuel, Elkanah, Eli, Chana are the four that are brought down by the Rishonim, right? Those are brought by the Rishonim itself. And now you have a very, very strange. We've already gone through. We know there are three songs that are in what's it called? That are in the Torah itself. We know about Oz Yashir. We know about Shiras Azinu. We know about the Shiras of Be'er that's in Chukas. Okay, we have those three down. We now have no song in Yoshua that we know of, but we have Chana's prayer, right? We have Devorah's song in Shoftim. This is number five. Chana's prayer is number five.
Wait, before we
do, yeah.
Later on, we do have an example of a child being so to speak reared in the Beis Hamikdash.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Yoshia.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good, the king. Very, very good.
But that was different circumstances.
Yeah, it was. And also there were chambers there at the time, chambers that were all the way on top. We do have a situation like that. That's a really good call. We have a, it's not like it's the first time that's ever happened. Good call. Yeah, so there was a possibility. He was even a baby. He was mamish a baby, 3 months when that happened. But it's Palo Chana Vatomer, Allah Tzlibi Vashem. Chana Davin, she said the following. Okay. Allah Tzlibi Vashem means my heart exalts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rama Karni Vashem, my keren, my horn is exalted in Hashem. Rachav Pi Alai Vai, I'm going to open up my mouth against my enemies, Kisamata Bishu Asech, because I rejoice in all of your salvation over here. Chana was one of Shiva Nevios. She's one of the Sheva Nevios in all of Tanakh, right? She's one of the seven over here. Chana definitely has some sort of nevuah that's going to mention over here. The main point of this song is going to show how everything in this world is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes everything and is wholly involved. There's Hashkacha Pratis and everything. He gives a whole thing from the Rambam at Hashkacha Pratis over here, and that the wicked will be knocked down. But there's another theme. And the theme is that personal fortune, when it comes to your own personal fortune, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can reverse the tides at any time. I can go from having no children to many children, and Penina, unfortunately, went from having many children to almost no children. She lost almost all of her children at the end. Yeah.
Was she an actual Akara, meaning she could not, she physically could not conceive and she knew that?
So there was I don't remember who said it above the Miyam Lois said that there was an opinion that says that she was, but it never said the word Akara the Ein Lo Ben, like it does by Tzlal Ponis, by Shimshon's mother, which means it could be that she had the ability and she just hadn't.
So that would make more sense that she had the ability, because otherwise, if she knew that she couldn't, how could she pray for it?
Oh,
she can't pray to create, to make an open miracle.
Yeah, to ask for that. It would have to be something that's still within the possibility.
But
did she know?
Right, I'm saying if she knew.
She probably didn't know. How could she know if she had a womb?
Well, according to the one that says that she had a period right after the first time.
Yeah, no, obviously. She had to have a womb.
Depending how old she was, I don't know.
Yeah, so she must have known something.
I mean, I don't know if that's something they could feel.
Very strange. Yalkut Shimoni says that this song over here is the predecessor to Shimon Asra. That the Anshe Knesset Gedolah used this prayer to teach how to make Shimon Asra. I have no idea how. Absolutely no idea. Olat is the gematria of 190, which is the same gematria of Avram and Sarah's years when they gave birth, because you wanted to compare himself to Avram and Sarah over here. Obviously, there's a tremendous amount of joy over here, but there's a little bit of sadness. A little bit of sadness because Penina had lost her children, which means, at the time, when all this was happening, Elkanah was sitting Shiva. Because remember, Penina's kids were dying. But that means Elkanah was sitting Shiva as well. That means Elkanah lost all these children. So why did Elkanah deserve that? It could be that Elkanah knew what was going on with Penina. That's a good call in of itself. But remember, young children do die at the behest of the sins of their fathers. That is Gemara and Shabbos and Lamed Aleph. So it's a possibility that's why it happened. It could be that Elkanah deserved it because he knew what Penina was doing and didn't stop her. And maybe that's the reason why. Okay, we got a couple minutes over here. Carney was saying, okay, we'll get into a little bit later. Right. The Medrash says that when she says Rochav Pi Aloivai, the Alvai refers to when the Aron was captured by the Plishtim, and the Plishtim started screaming out loud. In the end, the Bnei Yisrael got it back with treasures from the Plishtim. You remember, they got back the golden rats and hemorrhoids. So they ended up getting back. Ein Kadosh Kashem, there's nobody holy like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Beltech, there's no one like you. Ein Sur Kelokenu, there's no rock like a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning there's no Ein Sire Kelokenu. He's saying the most obvious thing in the world. And listen, I've been involved in this 7 times, okay? there's no question. Seeing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu paints the baby inside the stomach is the most unbelievable thing in the world. There's nothing like it in the world. It's the craziest thing in the world. How it comes in, and as far as we can understand in science, it's still the craziest thing in the world. How it happens and what ends up going through, and that's what it means, in Sire Kelokenu, there is no painter like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he's able to do, a sculptor that's able to make a living being within the mother, right? How do you have such a thing? It's the most unbelievable thing in the world. Chazal say this is also a remez to Chizkio HaMelech, right, when he fought against Sancheriv, and when the Malachim came, etc. We'll do one more pasuk over here. Al Tarbu Tidadveiru Tidabru Gevoa. Don't speak so proudly. Don't let harshness come out of your mouth. Ki El Deos Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a God of knowledge. Velo is interesting. It's written with an aleph, but it means with a vav. Velo, to him, one can say all actions are accounted for. It's the way that it's written is as if that's what the Rishayim think. Lo is Nisku Alelos. He doesn't have anything to do with anything. But we say Lo Nisku Alelos. No, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the idea behind it. Yitakenu is the word from Nitakan right over here. Chazal said it is a reference to Nebuchadnezzar, Hanani Mishael Vazaria, when Nebuchadnezzar could not believe that Hanani Mishael Vazaria were going to survive in the fire. In the end, they did. Lo Niskanu Alilos means everything goes through him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to make anything he wants happen without a problem. Should we do one more pasuk? It's 9:12. All right, one more pasuk. Dalet is short. Kesh Gibon Chatim, the bow of the mighty are broken. Vinech Shalom Azruchayel, those who were stumbling were girded with strength. They were able to go through here. Chazal Yonas Menuziel says this refers to the Maccabim and the Greeks. And she was prophesying about each one of these things one after the other. All right, we're going to stop with this. We're up to Pasuk Hey, Parak Beis Pasuk Hey.